This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Bill Fordtoff studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You got a pitch count on Clark Schmidt tonight?
Do I?
Yes. Look, let me explain something.
I don't.
Last time he could be on the mound for the year. You know, this is like all hands on deck and let's go.
Well, of course. I mean, that's the way we feel about it. I think it all depends on the eye test and how you're feeling about things, how he's pitching, and then of course, you know, they'll go into matchups and everything else. I think tonight is, and I mean, he can't go out there and blow himself off, we understand that, but tonight's more about the offense getting all over Walker Buehler. That's what this, I need to see the Yankees flex their muscles at home. I can't be watching guys flailing at curveballs, Aaron Judge striking out three times. No, this is a, we're going to go in, we're going to crush the baseball, you're here in the Bronx. Win or lose, we're going to smack you around in this game.
I think one of the real telling things about this World Series thus far is the scouting that the Dodgers pitching staff has done on Aaron Judge. And I was looking at some of the stuff that Yamamoto was throwing to Aaron Judge. I mean, he had him so off kilter. And there was so much break and movement on, whether it be the splitter or the curveball, that, you know, look, we think it's easy to hit, and we know how difficult it can be to hit.
Well, hold on. The reason we think it's easy for Aaron Judge to hit is because we've been watching him the whole year make it look easy.
But now they are specifically game planning for him, and, I mean, some of these pitches are just absolutely perfect. And if I sat here and said, you know, if he was swinging and flailing away like he did maybe a couple times, I would say okay. But I also know that, man, they're just pitching him so perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to say the opponent, if you're this bad, you got to tip your cap to a certain degree. But we've seen so much of this from Aaron Judge in the postseason, and you feel like it's more him than it is them.
I will say that much like Pete Alonso, and even though Aaron has gotten his contract and he's the captain of the Yankees and everything else, I mean, he's given the Yankee fans so many memories up to this point, getting to this point, that, you know, you got to support your home guy. You got to support your captain.
Well, there's no way. I mean, I can't imagine that they're going to boo him
tonight. No, they won't boo him. They're not going to boo him. They're going to give him a huge cheer. They're going to try to egg him on to get him going.
Yeah, I mean, if you walk into that building and it's a World Series game and it's a home game and you, like, I remember you going into game 5 of the NLCS. You knew they were down 3-1, but still had this energy about it. Like, damn, like, all right, this is your team. This is you, these are your guys. So any pissed off Yankee fan that is ready to go nuts on Aaron Judge, that's not going to happen when you walk in there. You're going to be so into it tonight.
The guy I worry about is the guy coming out of the dugout to pull the pitcher out.
Well, yeah.
You know, I just hope that Aaron Judge hits a meaningful home run or gets meaningful RBIs tonight. And does it in a way that is, it would be great if it were spectacular, but if it were just, you know, the ordinary, and he just gets a sacrifice fly, or he gets a double and knocks in two runs, you know, that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be three home runs tonight.
Yeah, no, of course not.
Although that would be great, too.
Yeah, that'd certainly be breaking out of it. The other big story, the Jets this morning, and I can't believe I'm going to ask you this question, but I honestly think that there might be a little of this going on. You know, we've talked about how no sense of urgency with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, some of these mistakes and these details. So he's someone who his legacy at this point is cemented for the most part. If he had come to the Jets and won a Super Bowl for them, obviously being in a different stratosphere, he would have been a modern-day Mark Messier for New York sports. That doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But with all his MVPs, only did win the one Super Bowl, but still a Super Bowl champion, and you know everything that he's done and shown us from a skill perspective, like his legacy seems cemented. But he comes off this Achilles injury last year. He's in his 40s. He's got a lot of other interests. He, according to him, was seriously interested in running for vice president along with RFK Jr. As the season continues to go, and now they're 2-6, I mean, I think what's going on here is he's like a little disinterested. I'm telling you, he seems not as locked in as he used to be. Like, he doesn't, it's almost like it doesn't matter to him as much as it used to.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I know that when you're on the field and you gotta put everything into it or you risk getting hurt again. But I, you know, the things for me, like, I see the arm strength. I see a couple of these touchdown passes that he throws, the couple of the balls he threw at Garrett Wilson yesterday. It's all there. All that part of it is there. A couple of the Patriots were talking about after the game how he doesn't have the movement that he used to have. But we all knew that. We all knew that he would have to play the game more like Tom Brady played the game towards the end of his career. Get it in your hands and get it out of your hands. Get it in your hands, get it out of your hands. Don't be moving around back there because you could be taking unnecessary hits. And it's really disappointing from my perspective just watching the disorganization of the offense. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. He's got guys out there that are superstar players, high-end players that he's playing with. And he should be getting the best out of them. Like, they should be so much better than they are. And he's right. They should be scoring at least 30 points a game. So, therefore, it is an unmitigated failure up to this point. And then the other aspect to all of this, because I'm assuming that this is, I said if they wanted to get themselves back into this, they had to win this past Sunday and they have to win this Thursday night to get themselves back into it. And there was a pathway to a wild card. That's what I felt like. This loss yesterday basically blows that theory up. And now you have to wonder about who is the next coach for the Jets next year? Yeah. Who is the next head coach? Who is Woody and who are Woody and Christopher Johnson going to be bringing in? And, you know, I know there's more than half. There's about half the season left to go here. We're already talking about this. I can't imagine unless a miracle happens that this group stays together. And then what do they do with Joe Douglas? Is Joe Douglas's
Well, I mean, you already know what. I mean, Woody Johnson just took all his power away, and it's unfortunate, and it was just sad, and Woody's not a great owner. We understand that. But, like, for you, who didn't make nearly as much money as the quarterbacks did today, towards the end of your career, you're talking, you know, dealing with the plantar fasciitis and different bumps and bruises, and you know, you still got in games and had, you know, you tell stories about that final year and getting in, winning some games and having some, throwing some touchdown passes and pride and everything else that was going on into it, right? Like, with Aaron Rodgers, he's made what, almost $200 million in his
more than that
career? Like,
more than that.
So, like, if they're sitting there 2-7 and he's getting the crap kicked out of him, he's made $200 million, they're going nowhere. Like, could he, like, just be like, I'm just going to sit the rest of this out?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Why? He's done stranger things.
Yeah, absolutely not. No way. I mean, you know, we talk about his legacy being cemented as a Hall of Famer for sure. But nobody wants to go out looking like this or feeling like this and not living up to the expectations that came along with the trade that happened last year. I mean, he's too prideful of a person. I don't believe that that is the case.
I'll make a prediction that the final game of the season, week 18, Aaron Rodgers will not be in uniform for one reason or another. He'll either be hurt, it'll be like, you know what, there's just no point in playing this game. Okay. He will not be in his pads at least week 18.
So just so you know, Aaron Rodgers' career earnings, $380 million.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, is there going to come a point like when the weather gets colder and he's getting hit where he's like, why am I doing it?
Well,
we're 2-11.
Well, the question that you would ask, like, why would Tom Brady do it? Why would Peyton Manning do it? Why would Aaron Rodgers?
Winning.
Yeah, but that's the point. I think Aaron Rodgers felt like he could come here, bring a couple of his buddies with him, have his coach with him, and he could recreate the success that he had in Green Bay the previous years. Yeah, that, you know, that,
obviously, I know what he was thinking. I'm talking about now, the reality of it.
But you can't quit in the middle of the season. That would really sour your legacy. You just can't. I mean, like, he's got to fight through it. He's got to go to work. He's got to be the leader, and he's got to deal with it. Believe me, I know. It's not fun. It's not fun. And trying to get everybody focused in, and you know, you can have as many team meetings as you want, you can say whatever you want. You know what? It all falls on deaf ears until they start winning. And if they don't win, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I just don't think it's totally out of the realm of possibility that he doesn't want to play at some point this season, when he's been someone that goes to Egypt in the offseason and misses the mini camp stuff, did not play in the preseason at all, didn't want to play in the preseason at all. You know, someone who has gone and basically disconnected himself from the world in multiple off seasons, whether he was sitting in a dark box or he was doing drugs in Costa Rica. Like, I mean, it makes him sitting out a few games towards the end of the year when they're out of it and it's cold and he's beat up does not sound any crazier than the stuff he's already done.
Yeah, my question for you is, who do you want as your coach next year?
My coach?
As the Jet coach.
Oh.
You think Vrabel would come here? I don't know. With Bill Belichick saying everything that he has said about Woody Johnson and the way the Jets are run from his perspective, and you would think that Vrabel is a loyal, you know, person when it comes to Belichick, and they do have, you know, I'm sure, a very good relationship. How in the world could somebody that's in that sphere become the next head coach of the Jets?
So this is what I said. And
are they bringing in a new general manager?
When Belichick crushed Woody for the second time, my take on that was, okay, it's fun for us to sit here and chuckle at, and he's right, but this has lasting effects on the organization, because whether you love Bill, hate Bill, whatever, he's respected amongst his peers, and he's also looked up to by other coaches. Look no further than Sean McVay licking him up and down before the Super Bowl that the Patriots beat him in. When McVay had lost with Jared Goff. So you've got Bill Belichick. If he's saying this publicly, what does he say to the guy that calls him and says, should I take the Jet job when Woody Johnson's still the owner? No, no, no. So I'll tell you, there's probably a really good chance that the Jets will not get their first choice, whoever that is, and maybe not even their second choice. So good luck. And Rob Saleh, we both didn't think he was a great head coach. He's another guy, though, that amongst the league, one of the best head coaches, and one of his buddies, Matt LaFleur, brings him in to help out like immediately after he gets fired. People have a lot of respect for Rob Saleh. They like the guy. He was done dirty by the owner. Like, these things matter.
By somebody.
But the owner said he did it. So, okay, then I'll take his word for it. So all those things have lasting effects on who the next guy's going to be.
You know, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in Matt LaFleur's office when Rob Saleh came walking in there.
Sure, yeah.
Could you imagine those conversations?
To hear the truth, yeah. Yeah, I know, of course. I'd love to.
Because, you know, Rob was not going to text the truth to Joe Beningo this time. He's actually going to go to Matt LaFleur and talk to Matt about it. Wow.
Yeah.
That had to be some series of conversations.
Jets are in a bad spot. Really, really bad spot. And arguably,
I'm going to ask you a question.
As bad as it was post-Adam Gase, like at that moment.
Right. You're talking about future and trying to predict the future and speculate on the future. So who is the Giants are a more solid team right now than the Jets are.
I mean, it's not saying much, but I would say, yeah. I mean, because I feel like there is, to me, a very good chance that the general manager, even after this horrible loss to the Eagles and Saquon and the whole thing, I understand that. But I still think there's a better chance than not that those two guys will be in charge next year, where I don't think that there's any chance that this regime survives what this is going on here with the Jets. So, yes, I would say that they're at this moment more stable, but they're both a disaster.
Yeah.
They're both terrible.
It is amazing what has happened to the Jets, man. There is just no, you know, and I held out hope, and I want to hold out hope, but there's just after yesterday's performance and watching what has gone on here, and when you think about if the kicker can make a couple kicks, if the defense can live up to its reputation and get turnovers, which they're not doing, and the offense can live up to its reputation with these high-flying wide receivers, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's like they're all taking a moment in time in the game to screw up their portion of the game. And yeah, they are in a really, really miserable spot. Like, I don't think they're... Like, I think the Panthers are, like, totally inept.
Oh, yeah. That organization...
I think the Titans, while they have a good defense, I think their offense is totally inept. Can't do anything.
Right.
You know, somebody was wondering why aren't the Titans getting, you know, reamed for letting Derrick Henry go to Baltimore? I'll say, like, Derrick Henry wouldn't be the same player in Tennessee that he's in Baltimore, because
they're rebuilding. They got a new head coach. It's turn the page situation.
Right. Plus, he's also playing with Lamar Jackson. Even though they lost yesterday, they still had big games. I mean, the fact of the matter is he's in the perfect offense to be the impactful player that he is. If he had to carry the Tennessee Titans right now, forget it.
Yeah. You know, and as far as, like, the Jets fans, I think there's a lot of great people that work over there. We know a lot of great people that are fans. I know that everybody's healthy and they'll live, and it's not like anybody's dying. But, like, it just sucks, especially when you come into this year with such high expectations. At the very least, we're going to be in this thing till the end, meaning, like, at least the end of the regular season. And to sit here now before Halloween, it's October 28th, and your season is essentially done and showing up to work the rest of the year. I mean, it's like...
It's miserable is what it is.
Oh, my God.
And here's the thing. They're playing on Halloween on Thursday night. I can't even imagine what the costumes are going to look like at MetLife Stadium. And by the way...
Everybody dressed as Rob Sala.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I just... You wonder what the conversations are. You wonder, like, Devontae Adams here. And we were just talking about the Yankees and the two games that they had in the World Series and all the situations that have already taken place in those two games. It's crazy when you think about it. Think about the Jets over the last 18 months. Think about what has gone on with them and how it has gone off the rails. I mean, it's not just, I mean, it's completely off the rails. And maybe Troy Aikman was right when he was speculating that this thing could unravel.
Well, I mean, it is. It's unraveled. They just lost to the Patriots.
You think it's unraveled right now?
It's, like, no, it's on. It's
like,
unraveled.
I wake up this morning and say, Jets are unraveled.
Yeah, they're unraveled. I mean, it's done. They're
done.
So then Troy's, I don't know if it was just a late night comment after the game was over and he just.
No, he knows what was going on. He's seen it before. Because you saw a bad football team. Like, you were going on faith that there was too many good players and Aaron Rodgers, they were going to figure it out. But, like, what we had seen up until that point, it was horrendous football. They were bad. I mean, and everybody kept, like, relying on the, well, it was just one kick. They would have won this game, won that game. But they played like crap in those games. That would have just been, you know, potpourri. Like, it just, they were bad. They're just a bad team. It's not working. A bunch of really talented individuals comprising a rotten, bad football team with no direction, a bad owner, a guy who's in over his head as a head coach, and a quarterback who looks like he's 100 years old. You going to win any games this year? I mean, they might lose out. Like, that's how bad they are.
So I was hoping that Aaron Rodgers this year would do what Kirk Cousins is doing right now with Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's basically what my hopes were for the Jets.
I mean, hell, we had two examples even better than that. Peyton Manning, that I think were Peyton Manning to the Broncos, Tom Brady to the Bucks. That's what we were hoping for. I mean, Kirk Cousins to the Falcons is like, you'd kind of wish for that at this point. Those other two are the ones that you wanted, Super Bowls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is back, and he's got another update and moment of the day for us. What's up, CeeLo?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Well, the Jets got under Big Mike's skin yesterday, perhaps into his wallet, based on gauging his post-game meter.
That's one of my favorites.
Usually a giveaway.
Right, the when he gets really, really angry. Yeah. But that's with local teams, you don't know. I do know. I mean, Dog has admitted that he bet $10,000 on the Jets over.
He was high on the Jets. Yeah.
We do know that. So Mike, much more quiet about the things that he is on. I'll never forget that one story I tell all the time. That was years and years and years ago. But when I'm in the newsroom and Mike, there was so much going on in New York sports, and Mike opened up with the loss that the Twins had the night before, like the Tigers. And then I realized, I'm like, what is this about? I went into the control room, like, oh, he bet the over. He's like, you're not going to believe that the Twins lost this game. So, second and third, one out. I'm like, what? So, yeah, usually a giveaway.
Yes. Well, so you do have the local angle here, but he was pretty fired. It's up in Foxborough, 25-22. So, that's 5 in a row, 2-6 now. This one, of course, included a missed extra point and a missed field goal by Greg, the former Legs, Erline.
Bill Parcells used to say to me, my kicker doesn't kick 80% of his field goals, he's somebody else's kicker. Zerline has to be somebody else's kicker or nobody's kicker. Get rid of him! How many games can he lose in 1 year?
What are we at, 3 and counting now with Zerline? Something like that? Even so, the Jets did score a late touchdown to go up 5. They're going to go for 2. Another delay of game penalty backs them up to the 7. And then the short Aaron Rodgers to... It's Mike Williams, right? He threw that, ball,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, but here's
the short
thing.
Of the end zone.
But here's the thing I'm thinking about. Okay, we're going for 2. You have a play sheet. You know what the plays are. You know what you think their defense is going to be in. So you go right to your play sheet and you call the play. Now, if somebody's injured on the sideline, you have to get somebody to replace them. Hopefully, you've done all that through walkthrough and you're ready to go. And there's going to be no indecision at all whatsoever in a situation like that. And so Aaron throws the ball. Now, if they're down on the 2-yard line,
sure,
it's going to be a 2-point play.
Yeah.
But because they're backed up 5 yards, it's going to end up being short of the goal line.
Yeah. Whole situation was pretty messy.
The whole time they're coming down the field, you know if you score, you need a 2-point play. You're going to be up 5, and you get a delay of game. How is that possible?
He's right.
What are you guys doing on a sideline?
Sideline!
Yeah.
He's perfectly right about that level of intensity, because there should be no excuses.
Yeah, 100%. And now this season, which began with such promise, has quickly crashed and burned.
Everything the Jets touches turns to garbage. Complete and utter garbage.
Including the move from Robert Saleh to Jeff Ulbrich, last one here.
This defensive coordinator, who has now become an interim head coach, has a better chance, okay, to become president than he does to be a head coach next year. Okay. I have a better chance to be an astronaut than this guy has to be a head coach in the future. He is worse than Salah.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Mike, like, in the space suit, like, zero gravity up on. I told you. Yeah, what a, that's a classic one for him.
Yeah, that so, was, felt comparable to that Mets-Phillies Citizens Bank Park Edwin Diaz meltdown from, what was that, 2019? Yeah,
they took the glasses off.
Threw them at the TV.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Ulbrich, frustrated again at the podium, asked what his message was to the guys in the locker room.
This is a moment of darkness, and we understand that the outside world is going to get really loud right now. But the only thing I know in life is that when it gets dark and it gets hard, that you work and you point the finger at yourself and you look inward and you figure out what can I do better.
So he gives them the darkness angle, and then they were sure to bring that to Aaron Rodgers when he made his way to the podium.
Call this a moment of darkness for this team. Is that how you see it, and how do you get out of it? I mean, because you could just stay in darkness as well.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it.
Okay, see if make some peace with the darkness this week. And they only have a short time to do it because they got to host the Texans Thursday night.
I'm going to be, we've all been bad with the picks, but I'm going to be very proud of myself if the Giants cover tonight, because I, on Friday, was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But for whatever reason, I'm picking the Patriots to cover, and I'm picking the Giants to cover.
What are you getting with the Giants there?
What do we have at Friday? 5.5? 6.5?
I think 6.5.
6.5?
Yeah.
Mm.
Or 6. Maybe 6. Maybe it was 6.
I got to see.
Maybe they can get off to a fast start, and then Russell Wilson will start to cook like he did against the Jets.
You know, six and a half. Okay. I can't even imagine what Jeff Ulbrich will say to his team today.
What do you say?
I don't really know what you can say. You could always say we are what our record says we are.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, guys, everybody's dumping on us, and rightfully so. We've earned every piece of criticism that has come our way.
They suck eggs.
Yep. And we cost the man his job.
I mean, the Devonta Adams speech clearly didn't work last week in the post-game locker room. They made a big stink about that.
Yeah. Mm. It's hard to win with mercenaries.
Yeah.
It truly is, unless his name is Tom Brady.
Or
then
Peyton Manning.
Or Peyton Manning.
Or Mark Messier.
Okay. Stop.
What?
That wasn't like a fly-in for 1 year situation.
Yeah, he was here.
Multiple seasons, some disappointing
seasons.
That was
a whole team of Edmonton Oilers.
Yes.
Ultimately, at the end of that 94 season.
They just kept adding to more Oilers and more Oilers and more Oilers.
The Rangers did for Mark Messier what the Jets have been trying to do for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I don't know why that offends you. He's the greatest. Like, that was the example I would give if Aaron Rodgers is either going to be Mark Messier or he's going to be James Hart.
Yeah, the Rodgers thing felt like a shorter runway, though, like a season or two.
But he was supposed to come here to do that.
Yes. He was supposed to be Kevin Durant.
But Messier wasn't 40 when he came here, you know?
Kevin Durant failed. He was supposed to be Mark Messier.
The one thing it was the only thing that I will say, well, it's not really similar because Aaron got hurt as a Jet playing on the field as a Jet. The Nets brought in Kevin Durant and paid him even though he got hurt wearing another uniform.
Yeah.
And he didn't play for a year. Which was one of the most that was a very Cleveland Brown-esque signing under those circumstances.
To be fair, though, in that year, what was it? They played the Bucks. Was that the East Final? If Kyrie didn't get hurt and if Durant's toe wasn't on the
line. No, it wasn't the East Final. It was second round.
Okay. But who was in the East Final then that they would have... Whoever was in the East Final, they would have beat. No, that series, wasn't it against the Bucks when...
Was it Atlanta that
year? I think it was. I think that... Be fair, I think they would have gone
that
to the
year the Knicks lost to Atlanta.
I think they would have gone to the finals. I don't know if they would have won, but
yeah,
it's not like they didn't have a crash and burn situation like this.
Well, no, it crashed and burned big time, but they made it. They made it to was it game 7 of the second round,
right?
Where this is not even going to make it anywhere.
That's right,
didn't even make it to November of year 2.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom. Falcons over the shorthanded Bucks in Tampa, 31-26. Kirk Cousins with the pregame rap or rhyme or I guess whatever you want to call this, trying to fire up his guys in the tunnel before taking the field.
We fight respect. We fight first. We fight no cap.
We fight no cap.
We walk in the trap. We go in your trap.
We walk in your trap. They go in your trap.
We fight respect.
We fight respect.
We fight no cap.
We fight no cap.
We walk in your trap.
doing this. I'm not saying he was, but it almost looked like he was looking down, like reading off a sheet, like the words there. I don't think he was.
But you like that?
It was a little
like that.
Felt a little forced. Yeah,
yeah, I kind of do like that, Al.
Yeah.
I do.
So you had that pregame. We heard from Jameis Winston earlier postgame with Amanda Baliones with his Eminem quote.
Do you have the pregame one?
I do. But there's two pregame. There was the pregame with Amanda.
Yeah.
That's what you're referencing.
Yeah.
But there was also the Browns made sure to get their camera in there, also in the tunnel.
Right.
And you Jameis like sees the camera coming. And he said, okay, let me go into my actor mode here. And he huddles up with DTR and some of the offensive linemen. And he hits them with this.
Opportunities come once in a lifetime. And with those opportunities, we have to make the most of it. Every one of us have an individual responsibility to go out there and fight for each other. Represent the names on your back. Represents the names that's on your helmet. Well, we don't got no decal. So represent the band. All right, one play at a time. All right, together.
Decals.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, represent the logo on your helmet. We don't got no decals. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. The one with Amanda, though, was weird.
It's very strange.
Staring into the camera.
He wasn't even looking at her. It was just weird. Yeah, he was. He was looking right into the camera. I felt bad for her.
But you want to know something? He may be weird, but he won.
Yeah.
And he did something that Deshaun Watson has been unable to do with that team.
Well, yeah. So did what Joe Flacco did for him last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every other quarterback that steps in there can play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Pretty
you
much.
Talk about dysfunctional. You talk about a team that's just basically turned off their quarterback.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll go on a run now that Watson's out for the year again. Jameis Winston, lead him to the promised land.
Just don't throw those interceptions. He tried to throw an interception
yes.
late in this game, and it hit Hamilton right in the hands, and he dropped it. That would have ended the game. Yeah.
You're going to get a little bit of everything when Jameis plays.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
It's exciting.
Giants and Steelers sit out in Pittsburgh. 6:15 coverage is on 11:30 a.m., or you can get it on the free Odyssey app. We got the Yankees and the Dodgers here on the fan. Of course, Game 3 World Series, 7:25 coverage. That's on the app as well. Clark Schmidt opposed by Walker Buehler. Certainly a lot of eyes will be on Aaron Judge. The postseason struggles continued through Games 1 and 2. Now he comes back home to the Bronx. He at least is speaking like he thinks he might have found something late in game number two.
Yeah, definitely. Even the bat I had off of Gratterall, I think the at-bat before that, getting a base hit, you know, felt some good things. And, you know, trying to, you know, he threw me a four-seamer kind of up and in, just missed it. So, you know, I'd rather get the job done in that situation. But, you know, I got to felt better, but we got to, like I said, it comes down. I got to get the job done.
I mean, there's probably not much of a rope for him with the fans, I would think. I was saying to Al this morning, it's not how I would approach it, but if he strikes out in his first at-bat, then I'd imagine he's probably going to hear it a little bit. Mm.
First at-bat? Like, if they're down.
Depends on the spot.
I would say if it's the eighth inning, two men on,
yeah.
two out, they need a base hit to tie the game or base hit to take the lead or something of that nature, and it happens then I could see it.
Prior to that,
I don't think Yankee fans are going to turn on their captain.
I mean, unless the Dodgers get out to like a 4-0 lead in the first inning, and then the Yankees come up and he strikes out, maybe.
I'm still like, this whole Shohei Ohtani thing is like people are just, you know, washing over it. It's a real thing. It's a real situation.
See how he looks tonight. Sounds now, like he's going to give it a go.
It's his back shoulder, so it's his left shoulder. And, you know, he's got a swing. Now, he could still let go of the bat, I guess. And still bring it through with his right arm, but it's not going to be the same player.
I don't know.
And is he going to be on base stealing bases?
Well, he didn't. He only had the one attempt up until in the whole postseason up until the until
yeah,
game
but
two.
Yeah, and there was no reason for him to do that. But
right.
when you watch him on the base paths, like so, he was hitting a ball over, you know, what's his name, Soto's head.
Yeah,
he ends up on third base. He's running his ass off.
I'm sure he could still run.
Yeah, but he's not going to slide. He's not going to slide head first. He's not going to slide. Feet first, he can't do it.
Think he could flip, go the other way?
I don't
go left foot leg, left leg first, right arm down.
Totally superhuman.
Well, we know he kind of is, isn't he? He's a bit of a freak.
Yeah, but I just he will be compromised to some respect.
I mean, the rest of they've got a pretty deep, relentless lineup even beyond him.
Yeah, I know. I saw it in a previous series against the Mets.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean. Whether he's 100% or not,
yeah, yeah.
He's still got to win 4 out of 5. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's do Moment of the Day. It's brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, remind you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. So, we're jacked up about the World Series around here, but not everyone's a Yankee fan. So some are, reveling in the misfortune or the losses or just kind of going after the fan base. And that was Alex in Pennsylvania who checked in earlier today.
I'm a Mets fan living in Philadelphia, man, and I'm loving every minute of this Yankee misery. The Yankee fans, listen, I don't hate the Yankees. I hate their fans for being such douches, you know what I'm saying? So as a diehard Mets fan, living in Philadelphia, having to deal with these Philly douches, listen, I get joy out of every minute these Yankee schmucks are choking up in the World Series. Listen, much credit to Carlos Mendoza for taking us where we took us this year. Love you, boys. Take care.
Yeah, well, and by the way, our manager came from those Yankees.
I mean, just be careful. Celebrating an early death, if you're one of those people, is not the right thing to do. Now, I know that Eddie Scazzeri wants to see the Yankees lose. I don't need to see the Yankees lose. It's not one of those things where I'm one of these bitter Met fans anymore. I appreciate my Yankee fan friends and my universe, and the ones that are obnoxious douches I've gotten rid of in my life. I don't have those people around me anymore. I know Eddie is very happy, but you have not. It's YE Day is YE Day for a reason.
Correct. You wait for the stake through the heart. You got to wait for the stake through the heart.
And this coming from a guy who got a stake in his heart yesterday by the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes, I did.
And that's why he knows that you got to wait for the
stake through the day. Hold it. Wait till they stop breathing. There's no pulse. Wait till the body's cold. And the Rick and Morty sets in.
Hey, by the way, how'd it go last Friday, sitting behind the counter taking the cash?
That was Saturday. It was very well. A little bit of a long day, but we made it through.
Yeah, we were thinking of you.
So wait, you took off Friday for an event on Saturday?
Well, we had to go down and set up. Friday was setup day.
Where was this?
Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
Interesting. He's been all over the map, man.
It's been a point of 2024 for him.
It really has.
I mean, Frederick, Maryland's what, about a 2-hour drive?
Three.
Mm-hmm. All right, CeeLo, we'll see you in 2025, something
getting
like that.
Soft around here, Al.
It's possible. I don't know.
Yeah.
I won't quit, though, all right? So just right. When I come back next time, just know I haven't quit.
Very good, CeeLo.
If I quit, I'll text you privately on the side.
All right. No, we've already seen it on it.
Rutgers basketball right around the corner.
Jerry did tell me, he said January, February, basically he's going to be using all his vacation time. So
yeah, Rutgers basketball right around the corner. Yep.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I feel like this happens once a year now. And maybe it's because I actually don't know the reason why, but maybe technology has gotten to a point that these things just look worse than they used to, or we see so many high definition pictures of people and video and 4K or whatever. But the ability to make a statue that looks anything like the person that they're trying to make the statue of has people can't do it. I mean, whether it's from the Hall of Fame and the bust to whatever, and what quite possibly could be the worst one ever, and that's saying a lot. Like, they made a Cristiano Ronaldo one. They made two of them, actually. One, he had just had, like, a big package, which was funny. And the other one, the face was, like, completely different. It's like, the eyes, one eye's up at his forehead, the other one's on his cheek. But the one that was unveiled yesterday was Dwayne Wade's in Miami. And the head on this thing looks nothing like Dwayne Wade. Nothing. It looks more like Dave Sims formerly of WFAM, the Coal Man and the Soul Man, and one of the guys who's up for the Yankee job. If you look at a picture of Dave Sims and you look at this thing, you'd be like, oh my God, that's exactly who it is. Or Lawrence Fishburne, then it looks like Dwayne Wade. And if I'm Dwayne Wade and like he's looking up at this thing and he's thinking, that looks nothing like me.
But he had to see it before they unveiled it.
I don't know if he did.
You have to. Unless they were trying to surprise him. I don't know. Maybe it was just the angle at which the picture. You don't think so?
No.
All right. So I have a friend that actually is a worldwide renowned sculpture artist.
Yeah.
That if you could cut the head off of that, I could have him do Dwayne Wade's head, and we could just attach it to the body.
They're gonna have to.
Do something, right?
You can't leave that thing up there.
That looks like he's like 75 years old, too.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, it's Dave Sims. Like, it is legitimately Dave Sims.
You know, you would think with all the AI technology out there now,
Yeah.
That they would be able to get it exact what it would be, as opposed to doing it just from the artist and his interpretation of Dwayne Wade's face.
Right. Like, and like the other thing that I can't understand is, like, okay, so the guy finishes this thing.
Yeah.
And he's looking at it, and he's looking at the picture that he was given. It looks nothing like it, but he's like, okay, I'm done. No, you're not. You blew it. Looks nothing like him.
I mean, the rest of the...
And then you have the other people that come in and be like, oh, so this is it. Were they afraid to tell him? Was there a timeline or the money or like what? Like, what was it? But if I were in any way a part of this thing, and they said, hey, here's the Dwayne Wade finished statue before we unveil it. I mean, that might look even worse, that one. Picture on CBS Sports Network.
Well, did Dwayne Wade like it?
I don't think he said anything bad about it, but like I would be like, no, we can't unveil this thing. That looks nothing like him. Nothing. It looks more like Lawrence Taylor, doesn't it?
I thought the Lawrence Fishburne, Dave Sims kind of combo.
Yeah.
I mean, the actual statue itself from the neck down is awesome.
Right, but it's got somebody else's head on it.
That's why I said we could just cut the head off and put a new one on.
Hey, if that's a possibility, an easy thing to do, I don't know if it is or not, but like, I mean, that, you're right. Everything else looks great. I mean, the arms look great, like the muscle definition, the way that the jersey, like they figure out a way to layer that, which is incredible work. I mean, and that head is also impressive if...
It matched the head of Dwayne Wade.
Right, because I mean, the detail on the head is great, but it's not his face.
Well, just got to cut the head off and put a new one on, that's all.
And what do you do with that old head? You just throw it out?
Give it to Dave Sims.
Just have it on his mantle?
Yes. Or give it to Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, if like any of those two guys get statues, it'd be like, hey, I already got the head. You want to do the rest of the body?
Right. So, have you seen Brandon Tierney this morning?
I have not. No.
This is a lot of negativity built up in him.
Yeah.
I think over the weekend, I heard a little bit of it on, was it Saturday? I think
yeah.
so, right?
Yeah, Saturday.
And then, now this, the debacle of a performance by the
yeah.
Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I the unkillable thing, ever since he said unkillable, they've been very killable. Two years in a row.
It's going to be a lot of screaming and yelling at
him. Loser!
Uh-oh. Yeah,
they've been more killable than a lantern fly, these Jets.
Squash.
Wow.
Squash, squash.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app